Okay.
Yeah, don't call me a liar. There you go.
We're good. Okay, while everybody's getting ready, I'd like to thank and recognize, aside from the Sagirs from hosting this, from Revelli for asking me to share some words of Torah, to also thank some of my friends, kind of pooled some collective ideas from them, Rav David Gottlieb, Rav Eli Krimsky, Rav David Walensky, David Walensky, friends of mine, colleagues, so I thank them. Okay, so what I'd like to do is, you know, we're all familiar with Akedah growing up and going every year through Rosh Hashanah. We read it again, Parshas Vayera. But I'd like to take a look at a Medrash, which part of it I think most of us are familiar with, at least part of the Medrash. But the other half I don't think we're as familiar with. And kind of looking at that Medrash and the whole story of the Akedah from a different perspective, perhaps giving us a message going into Slichos and Rosh Hashanah. So if we take a look at the Medrash, source number one, and you'll see why I think it's important to read through the most of the Medrash here. So the Medrash says, Kidmu Satan Bederech, that Avram and Yitzchak are going on the way to the Akedah, and the Satan comes to try and stop them, right? So we're probably mostly familiar with later on in the Medrash with the Satan coming and looking like a river, which in source number two, the Ma'aril says that's why, one of the reasons why we do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. But before that, the Medrash says, first the Satan came to Avram, Kidmu Zakein. He came to him looking like an old man. Amar Lei Lana Taholech. So he said, where are you going? Amar Lei Lispalel. I'm going to Davin. If you're really going to Davin, why you have this whole carbon package with you? You know, you're going to do sacrifices or something. Where are you going? So he said, we're going on teal for a few days. We need to bake. We need to cook. We need to shecht. Meyashana said, who are you fooling? I was there when Hashem told you, go take your son and go sacrifice him. And you're 100 years old and you're going to go, what, you crazy? You're going to go and you're going to take your son and kill him? What's going on here? So just skipping a line. V'im tomer yelecha ben acher, tishma minash hameshatin v'tova neshama shetichayev ala bedin. So you say, even if you say, okay, maybe you'll have another son, Hashem worked miracles, maybe we'll work another miracle, you have another son. Who says Hashem's not going to turn around to you tomorrow and say, you're a killer. I don't want you leading the Jewish people anymore. You're a killer. Forget you. So what does Avram say to him? Amar Lei Lo Mashim Haya Ela Karsh Baruch Hu Yisbarach Haya Lo Ashma Mimcha. He said, Hashem said this. You're a liar. I'm not listening to you. Okay, so the Satan says, fine. Trick number one didn't work. So what does he do? Halach Me'alav Nidme Labachor. Now he walks away and he comes back now looking like a young lad. He comes, walks up next to Yitzchak and says, La'ana taholech, where are you going? So Yitzchak says back to him, Amar Lei Lilmo Torah, we're going to learn Torah. Amar Lei Bechayecho B'misasecha, are you going to learn Torah alive or dead? So Yitzchak says, V'chiyesh Adam Shiyomot Acher Misa, obviously we're going to learn Torah while I'm alive. Like, how can you learn Torah after you're dead? So the Satan says to him, Aluv bar aluva kama tanios nisanos imchad shelo noledes v'azakin hu hishtata v'hu loich lishchatcha. Says, you're an idiot, you're a fool. Your mother fasted for years to be able to have a child. And now your father, he's off his rocker. He's going to take you and he's going to sacrifice you and kill you. So Yitzchak says, Amar afapikein lo avor al das yotri v'al tzavai avi. You know what? This is what my father said. This was what Hashem said. I'm not changing. Chazav Amar Laviv. So Yitzchak goes and says to his father, you know, what's going on, Dad? And his father says, don't listen to him, and et cetera, et cetera. Skipping a couple lines. The line before we see the Nar HaGadol is underlined. So the Satan says, okay, trick number two didn't work. Okay, a few days later, they get to Har HaMoriah, and the Satan says, now it's time to pull out the big guns. The Satan turns into a river. Miad Yorad Avram Lasoch HaMayim V'Yigiu Ad Birkav. He gets up to his knees. and they keep going, and then it gets to their into their neck, and they keep going, and Avram, I'll just translate now just to save time. They call to Hashem, Hashem, what do you want us to do? You told us to go. You want me to do this or not? If I don't do this, if I die in this river, who's going to be able to make your name great, showing that they're willing to sacrifice their son? So Hashem tells the river to dry up, and they keep going. But before they keep going, and again, you see the Satan, he pulls out all the tricks, he throws a Hail Mary here, you know, and says, last thing, the Satan says three or four lines from the bottom, Kach shamati me'achorei ha'pirgud, haseh lo la ve'in yitzchak lo la. He says, you know what, Avram, go and do it, because you know what, it doesn't matter anyway. Hashem told you, I heard Hashem is going to call out at the last second and tell you, don't offer up Yitzchak. You should offer up this ram instead. Is he trying to, you know, throw a monkey wrench into here and have Avram give up hope? Spoil it all? Avram doesn't listen to him. The Medrash actually says that's the punishment of a liar, that even when they're saying truth, people don't listen to them, right? What's the story? The boy who cried wolf, right? And Miadvir es hamakom erachok, Avram sees Hara Moriah, and they go and continue on. So now let me ask you a question. Let's read through the psukim in source number 3. Okay, the Satan tried four different things the Satan tried to do to stop Avraham. Now let's look at the psukim in source number 3. Avram's about to do it. He has the knife up. And what happens? The Malach calls out, Avram, Avram, Vayomer Einani. Avram says, yes. Vayomer Al Tishlad Yadchal Hanar Val Tas Lo Muma. Don't stop. Don't do it. Ki Ata Yadati Kiri Elokim Atav Lo Chasach Tas Bin Chay Sechid Chami Meni. I know that you were willing to do it. I know that you are the true one. You passed the test. Great. Let me ask you a question. The Satan just tried four times to stop Avraham. And now Malach's calling out the last second, don't do it! If I was Avraham, why wouldn't I think that maybe that was the Satan trying to stop me? Right? Why does Avraham take it for granted, face value? It's the angel calling out to him on behalf of Hashem, stop, don't do it. Good question. So Rav Meir Shapira of Chachmei Lublin fame, Daf Yomi fame, asked this question. And he said, if you continue looking in the Psukim, the next thing that happens, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vaisa Avram Eseinav, Vayar Vine Ayal Achar, Nechaz Besfach Bekarnav. What does he see right after the angel calls out? He sees the aisle. But what's with the aisle? It's caught in the bush. The ram is struggling. He sees the ram struggling in the bush. It's caught in the bush. Avram sees this, and he says, this can't be the Satan. Because Rav Meir Shapira says that when there's struggle, then you know that you're on the right path. You know you've reached the truth. If it's too simple, if it's too easy, if it's too good to be true, then it is, right? It, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, in the movies and books and whatever, Lahavdil, that the good guys are trying to get into the enemy lair and they get in really easily. One good guy says to the other, oh, wow, that seems almost too easy. And all of a sudden, all the, you know, the bad guy pops up with all his henchmen and says, ha-ha, it was a trap, right? If it's too easy, then it probably is. And when there's struggle, says Rav Meir Shapira, that's when you know you're on the right path. That's when you know that you know that's the right way to go. But it was still, you know, he still hadn't. You're the daka tishim in the last second. Your knife's already up. He's ready to do it. To hold back at that point and not do it. When he was going through the river, he still had to climb up a mountain. He still had to explain to Yitzchak. When Yitzchak turns to him and says to him, "Wait a second, Dad. Where's the karban?" You know, and then realizes that it's him. You still have many more difficult steps along the way. So it's still, yes, it's further along, but it's not, still not the last second. And just to bring this home even further, to show that this is not just something that relates to Avram, but really something that can relate to each and every one of us. If you look in source number 5, Nechama Leibowitz says, if you look in the Medrash, these symbols that the Medrash uses, that Chazal used, are not by chance. She says that the symbolism of an old man coming is representative of Avram's own heart, of his own internal struggles. Right? When the old man, the Satan, says to him, you know, are you gonna, Hashem gave you a son at the age of 100, and you're gonna kill your own son? She says that's his paternal instinct, his internal paternal instinct. When Hashem, when the old man says to him, the Satan says to him, you know, Hashem's gonna call you a killer tomorrow. That's the voice of conscience. And when he said to him, what are you taking this knife? And was it a man going to pray? Why the fire and knife in his hand? That's him playing on Abraham, and in terms of his Avodas Hashem, in terms of his religious struggles, and saying, who's going to go and offer sacrifices in the religion? That's not the Jewish people's way. What are you doing? What about the river? The river, says Nechama Leibowitz, is the form of a large river. What does that signify? The objective difficulties that block a person's path. Those are the external struggles that we have. That might be, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, you've been trying to come home early to be able to have dinner with your family. And at the last, you know, finally, okay, I'm going to come home. I'm going to be home early so I can have dinner with everybody. And last second, the boss calls you into a meeting so you can't get home for dinner. You wanted to, but it was an external something blocking you. These are the struggles that we have. This isn't just Abraham. And when knowing that if we're having the struggles, then we know that we're on the right path. We know that, in source number 6, sorry for the typo, Robert Browning says, when the fight begins within himself, a man's worth something. That when we have these struggles within us, and each of us have these struggles, whatever it is in life, whether it's being able to get up early in the morning to go to Daf Yomi or have a chavrusa in the day, or if it's more modern, being able to talk to people and not just constantly talking with everybody else around the world, being connected with everybody except our own family when they're right in front of us and come to us and want to talk to us and we're just talking to everybody else around the world. And these are real struggles that we all have our own struggles. But knowing that we have the struggle shouldn't be something that puts us down and we say, I should give up hope. I can't overcome this. It's a struggle. Every single year, I try, comes to Elul, comes to Rosh Hashanah, I make a deal with Hashem, and I can't change. I'm struggling. But that's what Avram also did. Avram also struggled with that. And he saw from the aisle with his horns stuck in the bushes that struggle is something that is the path to growth, the path to greatness. And if you look on the back page, in source number 9, Rav Huttner has a sefer of all his letters, many of his letters that he wrote. And one of the more famous letters of Rav Huttner, he had a Talmud that wrote to him talking about how he felt down, he was depressed, and felt almost hopeless that with his struggles. He struggled. And Rav Huttner, three lines down, I'll start from there. Rav Huttner says, Rach holy hi etzlenu. It's a disease that we have. Shekasher mis'askim anu b'tzdadeh ha'shlemus shel gdolenu. When we talk about our gedolim, hinenu metaplim b'sikum ha'achron shel malasam. We talk about the gedolim, we read the gedolim books from Art Scroll, and we hear all these stories, and we say, wow, I wish I could be like them. And we say, I'm a terrible person that I can't get to be like them. And we think that this is how they were born like this. They came out of the womb as the Chafetz Chaim. He says, you think that's not how the Chafetz Chaim became the Chafetz Chaim. He says, skipping a line or two, uh, where it says about the Chavetz Chaim, Hakom Sochim Mitpalim Rimim Al Nesach Taras Haloshen Shabbat Chavetz Chaim. Everybody talks about the greatness of the Chavetz Chaim. He always spoke pure speech. He never spoke Lashon Hara. He was amazing in his speech. You think the Chavetz Chaim was always like that? Who knows all the struggles the Chafetz Chaim went through to become the Chafetz Chaim, to be able to hold back from saying, you know, that quick retort back to somebody, saying that juicy piece of gossip to somebody. It just comes freely. It's come so easily. And for him to be able to become the Chavetz Chaim, it wasn't overnight. It took years and years of perfection. I forget, Ravelli, which Tiferes Yisrael quotes a story about Moshe. I think it's Tiferes Yisrael. He quotes a story that a king once wanted a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he hired a painter to go to paint a picture of Moshe and bring it back to him so he could see what this great Jewish leader looked like. And the painter goes, and he paints the picture and comes back. And the king looks in and says, "This is not Moshe. This person looks angry. Moshe is the greatest leader of the Jewish people. He's an Adam Mikol Adam. How can this be Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm going to kill you." The painter says, "Don't blame me. This is come, I'll take you." And they go on a journey, and he takes him to Moshe. And the king says, "Wow, you really did a great job. It's a perfect picture. But I don't understand. Why does Moshe look so angry?" And so the king goes over to Moshe, and Moshe says, "You know what? The truth is that many years ago I really was an angry person. My nature is one of anger. And for many, many years I worked on myself." And you see throughout Jewish history in the Torah flashes of Moshe's anger when the Jewish people sin. But he worked on himself. He struggled with it. That's what made him a great leader. As we'll see, that it's through the struggles, Rav Huttner says, that's what makes a person a great person. And Rav Huttner basically says to the student that you don't get so down and don't think that because you're struggling that there's no hope. But it's because you're struggling, you should know that you do have hope and that you're on the right path. Just to the second paragraph, Dalecha chavibi sheshorsh nishmascha hu lo hashalva shel yitzer tov, el dafka milchamaso shel hayitzer tov. The root of your soul, of your greatness, is not the serenity of your yitzer tov, but rather the struggles that you have with your yitzer tov. Umichtavcha yakar hanilvav meid kamei eden kiachin lochem nemanata betzivosav shel hayitzer tov. Your letter shows me that you're one of the warriors in the battle. Right, the Sivos Hashem, like Chabad used to say, you're a warrior in the Sivos Hashem, fighting the battles, the struggles. And Rav Huttner says, Banglit Omrim, lose a battle and win the war. He says, you're going to lose the battle, you're going to lose many battles. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. Because at the end of the day, if you fight and fight and fight and struggle, the end of the day, you'll be able to come out on top and win the war. And if you skip a few more lines, he says, it's two lines from the bottom of the second paragraph. Hachacha mikol adam amar sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei said, sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Literally, seven times the tzadik falls and gets up. Rav Huttner says that, you know, the many people think, oh, this, what makes the tzadik great? The tzadik falls down and then he gets up. That's what makes him a tzaddik, because he gets up, right? He gets knocked down, and he gets up. That's what makes him great. Rav Huttner says that's not what makes him a tzaddik. What makes him a tzaddik is that af al pi sheva yipol tzaddik. I'm sorry. Av chachamim yodim heitiv shekvanhi shemahus hakima shel tzaddik he derech hasheva nefilo shelo. The reason he becomes a tzaddik is because he struggles. Because he struggles, that's why he's able to get up and be great, and be a tzaddik, is because he struggles. If Meir Shapiro said, if it's too good to be true, it is. If you're not struggling, if you're not having struggles in life, then you're not a human being, you're an angel. Because every single one of us has struggles, whatever they are. Okay, and I think that okay, before we get to source number 7, so there's a famous study, maybe some of you know it. It's called the Stanford Marshmallow Study Experiment. Now, about 45 years ago, they took 600 children and they put each of them individually in a room with a plate with a marshmallow or a cookie. And they said to them, listen, if you can wait 15 minutes to take this marshmallow, then I'm going to come back in the room, and not only can you have that marshmallow, I'll give you another marshmallow. And they have videos. They videotape them. And you can watch the children struggling, you know, with their self-restraint. You can see them, like, holding their hand back like this. Imagine, like, 5 and 6-year-olds. You know, like, they're caressing the marshmallow. They're, like, you know, like, licking it, you know, and turning around and looking. And 2/3 of those students, 400 of those kids, ate the marshmallow. They couldn't hold back. But of those 200 that were able to hold back, they followed them throughout life. And those 200 students, on average, were more successful in life. And I think it's the same idea. Those students that were able to hold back, that struggled with it, and were able to overcome their struggles, they went on to become great. Like Rav Huttner said, Shevi Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. That's what made them great, was their struggles. This idea of struggling can also be applied to two different different methods of therapy that psychologists employ. One is called the cognitive behavior therapy, which has been used for over 100 years. Say 60, 70 years ago. Okay, and basically cognitive behavior therapy, the way it works in short is that a person comes to the therapist and the psychiatrist and says, I'm depressed, I have no friends. And the therapist says, okay. Basically the therapist reframes it and says, really, you say you have no friends, well, what about that person? Or Ben was telling me this morning, why don't you make a list of people, all the people that came to visit you in the last week or two? Well, what about this person? That person's your friend, they came to visit you. So basically cognitive behavior therapy is reframing your struggle. It's not saying, oh yeah, you have a struggle. It's saying, you don't really have a struggle. Let's look at it differently, right? It's almost like, remember last year I saw a piece in Likutei Maharan where Rav Nachman says that we should be dan l'kaf schus, right? Dan l'kaf schus, not only for other people, but it means even within ourselves, that we should look for that zechus within each of us. Don't say, oh, I'm a terrible person, I struggle, I do, everything is bad, I have nothing good about me. But we should look for that zechus, that little bit within us. We reframe it. We say, no, okay, fine, maybe you do a lot of things bad. But that one thing is good. Let's reframe it. You're not really a terrible person. And that's cognitive behavior therapy. But about 30 years ago, there's a new, more popular therapy that's starting to take on. It's called acceptance and commitment therapy, called ACT. And basically what that says is, A, that you should, yes, embrace the struggle. You should live with that pain and say, yes, you really are struggling. It really is a challenge that you have. You're doing something wrong. And you know what? Embrace it. Let's take it head on. Live with the pain and overcome it by coming up with techniques to overcome it. So if you know that you have trouble getting up in the morning to go to Daf Yomi, so you set 2 alarms or 3 alarms, or you tell your kids, you know, if Abba's not up in the morning on your way out, take a cup of water and pour it over my head before you leave. Okay, then maybe don't tell them to do that. Okay. But, you know, you come up with different things. Or if it's with the phone, you know, instead of constantly having your phone on you, maybe when you come into the house, you put the phone by the door or put it somewhere else for a few hours so that it's not on you. Or, you know, there are ways to come to get through the struggles. But basically, what it's saying is, yes, it's okay to embrace the struggle, because part of the path of greatness, the path of perfection, is embracing that struggle. Okay, how much time do I have left? Do I have a couple minutes or yeah? Okay, so just quickly. So just quickly. I think this ties it together, and then we'll end with a story. In source number 8, the Yushalmi and Tainus, and there are a few midrash in the Torah Shlema quotes that talk about this. You know, if you look back in source number 3, so we said that in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Avram looks up, he sees the ayol, Bayar Hainai, ayol, achar, nechaz basvach bekarnav. And the midrashim all question, what's this word achar? Seems to be unnecessary, this word achar. And they all the midrashim in different forms basically say that the achar is referring to the afterwards, meaning the future. And that Avraham saw this aisle throughout the day, you know, get stuck, it's stuck in this bush, and then it gets free, and then it goes to another tree, and it gets stuck in the tree, and it gets free, and it goes to another bush and gets stuck. And Avraham says to Hashem, Hashem says to Avraham, you know, that this is just like this aisle got stuck. The Jewish people are also going to get stuck throughout history. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have struggles with other nations of the world. We're going to have struggles internally within ourselves with sins. But Avraham then says to Hashem, and is this going to be forever? We're always going to struggle? And Hashem says to him, if you look at the last two lines, source number 8, "Besofan lihi ga'el bekarnav shel ha'ayel hazeh." Hashem says, no. In the end of days, when Mashiach comes, you're going to be redeemed, and there's going to be through this very same aisle, the horn of this ram that was stuck in the bushes by Abraham, this very same horn, shofar, is going to be blown and going to sound the geula. It's going to show and help you get out of your struggles. It's going to help you break free and have geula, as the pasuk says in Zechariah, "Vashem Elokim b'shofar yitaka v'halach b'saros teiman." Right, a shofar is going to be blown when Mashiach comes. And my friend Ellie Krimsky pointed out the word tekiya, right, which is the predominant sound that we blow with the shofar, is the same shorish as the word. Anybody? What are we talking about? Takua, of nitka. You're stuck. And perhaps this is what the Medrash is telling us, that at the end of days, this very same horn of the ram, the shofar, which we blow on Rosh Hashanah, which helped Avraham break free from his struggles and realize that, yes, this is Hashem telling me to do this. Yes, it's difficult, but I have to do it. Is the same shofar blast that's going to break us free in the end of days with Geula when Mashiach comes. And so, just to end with the story, Dr. Pelkovitz, I've mentioned him before, so he's amazing. If you like psychology and Torah, he's a really incredible psychiatrist, and he has lots of shirim on why Torah. He's told a story a number of times about Elie Wiesel. And when Elie Wiesel was in the concentration camps, the concentration camps were a place where they really struggled. They had no food, they were starving, they worked them to death, literally. And one day, one of the Russian inmates in the bunk got a hold of rat poison. And everybody from the bunk was lining up. They had said, we're struggling, we can't deal with this anymore, we're just going to end our lives, we're going to commit suicide. And they all lined up, every single one of them from the bunk. Except for one person, there was a chassid that stood on the side. And this chassid, they all of a sudden just started singing slowly. I don't know if this is a tune. He started singing Ani Mamin. Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shelema Bevias HaMashiach. Right? Bevias. And Elie Wiesel said when he was singing that Ani Mamin, it was almost like they were broken out of their trance. And that song of the Ani Mamin of the Chassid, it was Ki'ilu, like the shofar being blown to pull him out from his struggle, from being stuck, just like the shofar will be blown when Mashiach comes. So as we enter now the time of Slichos, the time of Rosh Hashanah, it's a time when we reflect, we introspect, and we think about our struggles, about the things that we've done wrong, and we shouldn't give up hope, and we shouldn't despair, and we should say it's normal, and we should embrace those struggles. As Rav Huttner said, that Shevi Pol Tzadik V'Kam, that the path to perfection is to struggle and to overcome those struggles. Oh.
Go ahead.